The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailments." When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work, and work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things Jesus was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, we're going to get a double dose today. Not because I missed last week, though I was sad to have missed the opportunity on that particular text from Luke where Jesus dives right into the divisiveness that he can cause in our world. Not because of that, but because this story is paired with another. Another one that our lectionary skips over because there are just too many stories in Luke's gospel to get to in 1 year. But it's a story that's meant to be read in tandem because it is the same and yet the exact opposite of what Jesus does for this woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath. That story is in the first part of Luke 14. And so holding this story of Jesus healing the bent-over woman in mind, hear this short story about another individual that Jesus heals. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then Jesus said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. A couple of pieces that tell us that these stories are connected. They're both on the Sabbath. They both have to deal with release. And they both challenge systems of power, the way the community is organized. This is an issue that Jesus pushes over and over again as he moves closer to Jerusalem. And in this series of stories, it is a challenge to the way people expect to encounter the world. And it's in these two encounters, both in the synagogue and in the banquet hall, that Jesus dares push back against two of the most foundational practices of his time, that being his own community's faithful gathering in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and the practice of a banquet, which is not just getting together to share a meal. It is a stylized place where folks sit down according to their place of status in the community, and it's all about the balance of power. I'll talk more about that because we have several banquet stories coming up. Jesus, again, does not leave this topic alone, but I just want to point out that the synagogue and the Sabbath are places of foundational power, and Jesus is challenging that because the synagogue and the banquet control and have meaning over the social lives and the economic lives of the folks that Jesus encounters. Regardless of if they're ever able to participate in one of these moments or not, it ripples out through the community. So on the Sabbath, the holy day, these two healings, one the woman with a bent over spirit that had crippled her for 18 years, the other a man with dropsy. Both of these individuals are healed by Jesus. Here, as modern folk, we got to take a step back. When we deal with healing, we think of symptoms, we think of medicine, we think of individual ways to address that ailment. You got a backache? Take some aspirin. It's not so for our ancient healers in the first century in the Roman Empire. Let's not think that they are steps behind us. They are very sophisticated for the tools at their disposal and the knowledge that they have at the time. And I also want to move away from any supernatural understanding that Jesus is magically able to pop this woman back into straight alignments. I think if Jesus tried to do that, he'd probably break a vertebrae or two. No, this is about the social status of the individual, the way healers dealt with this ailment, or the way they addressed chronic illness. This is not just Jesus. These are healers at the time in the first century. The way they understood chronic illness and abnormalities, they are socially disvalued states, meaning they are a threat to the community. And so if we think about the folks that Jesus heals in the synagogue on the Sabbath, not just this woman who is bent over, but a man with a withered hand. Other instances where Jesus heals a man that his four friends lower him through a hole in the roof. The man can't walk. He gets up and walks at Jesus' command. These are not supernatural events. Jesus is addressing the social realities that keep these people basically unalive. Because that's the state that this woman is in, being bent over. Not only is she marginalized because of her place, her status in that world, she is marginalized because she doesn't fit. She is broken. She is disvalued because she cannot be any means of production for that society. And in the Roman world, if you are not a means of production, well, you might as well not exist. Didn't matter if you were on the Italian peninsula or in ancient Judea. If you could not contribute to society, you were as good as non-existence. That's the way this woman had been living. And so when Jesus heals her, the word that is used is released. He releases her from being bent over. Now, that's the same word that Jesus uses with the man with dropsy, who is suffering from an ailment, a social one, but it's on the opposite end of the spectrum. And I'll get to that here in a second. So the way Jesus is approaching this, it's focused on the social and symbolic conditions more than what's physically going on. And so Jesus is lifting this woman up so she can stand erect. Now, Jesus' approach is more radical than other healers of his day, and this is what gets him in trouble, is because he dares to name why this woman has been bent over. He dares to go into the symbolic and name the system that has kept her crippled. He exposes the social realities that are enforced by the dominant order, the order that says because she is not productive, she is as good as dead. That's what Jesus is challenging. So when he releases her, he sets her free from the bondage of a society that says, you are no good to us. And it may not seem like a whole lot for one individual to receive their freedom, but she pops up. She is released from that, and it is truly a powerful moment. Richard Lowry, the New Testament scholar, writes of the way this woman's healing, her being made straight, is connected to the very Sabbath stipulations that Jesus talks about, because that's where the rub comes in. It was the Sabbath stipulations that irritated the leader of the synagogue who controlled that reality, who had the power to send somebody to the priest or work within the usual methods of helping somebody to receive healing. But clearly for 18 years, it hadn't worked. Jesus is encroaching on this individual's status, and that, well, it has him irate, as the text told us. So Jesus addresses the issue of Sabbath. Does each of you on the Sabbath untie their ox or their donkey from the manger and lead it to give water? Here he's addressing some deep Levitical practices of Sabbath, where of course you lead your animals to water. Sabbath, remember, is not just a day of rest for people, it's a day of rest for all. Animals, creation. And it's a part of a much larger cycle of Jubilee, to where every 6 days you work, seventh day you rest. 6 years you work, 7 years, everything rests and lays fallow. And in the 49th year, the seventh of seven, you move into Jubilee, which is release of everything. Release of those enslaved by debt, release of debt itself, land returns back to its original owners. Jesus is addressing that whole cycle in this moment of release. And in fact, this is the last moment where Jesus will be in a synagogue and heal on the Sabbath in Luke's gospel. Maybe as a completion of what he had read from Isaiah back in Luke chapter 4, I come to release the captives. This being a moment where Jesus releases one who is held in bondage by a system that has oppressed her. Again, it seems like such a big issue and ridiculous for such a small moment, but it has all the power in the world to begin to wake people up to the realities moving around them. To get back to Richard Lowry, this is what he says. The image of untying and releasing the ox and the donkey also connects the story of the woman's healing with Sabbath year release. Shaking off the yoke of debts, referencing Nehemiah chapter 5, shaking off the yoke of debt, indebtedness, servitude, and oppression are often described as bearing a yoke. The root meaning of shemata in the Sabbath year passage refers to the loosening a yoke and letting it drop from the shoulders. With shoulders now unbound, the one released can stand completely erect. This is such a powerful moment of release, and he names what's going on, what the system is, and it's what I've been talking about all year, debt. We still have the phrase crippling debt in our social currency. We understand what being held down by economic realities mean. We understand the weight of not being able to participate fully in a life that we want or feel that we desire. We feel the weight of the bills piling up and the paycheck not keeping up. We feel the weight of all of the economic wildness that's going on in the world around us that seems to be spinning out of control. We feel that weight. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. It's not that this woman had been bent over 18 years by some injury in her back. She was crippled and held at the margins because she is part of the marginalized, the poorest of the poor, those without access to resources, those who day in and day out feel the weight of economics bearing down on them. When you've got nobody to provide for you, when you can't work a job, when you are pushed to the very edges of life, that weight is a present reality. And for her in that moment to be released, to shake that yoke off, to stand up straight, must have been like the Israelites leaving Egypt for her. That's the power of this moment. And why it is meant to be paired with our friend with dropsy. We go to Luke 14. Again, on the Sabbath, we're not to miss that detail. The challenge of healing is going to come up again, but this time he's in the banquet hall, a place where only the affluent are allowed, a place where you've got to have something in order to be able to sit at the table, comes a man with dropsy. Now, dropsy is not a medical term that we use a whole lot anymore. Dropsy we would equate to edema, a buildup of fluid in tissue, in the lungs, maybe in the tissue in the ankles, swelling, the body becoming large. But again, it's not about the physical nature of the illness, it's about what society says about it. And physicians and philosophers throughout the Roman world for hundreds of years equate dropsy with what we would call affluenza, having too much. Or to go back to a couple of weeks ago, to be afflicted with greed that consumes you. This man is swollen because he has too much. Thus, at the opposite end of the spectrum from the woman who has been bent over. He represents the most powerful, the most privileged, and he has swelled and is also in a state of need. Jesus also releases him from his ailments. Doesn't particularly get into what happens in that moment. It's very quick. Jesus takes him, heals him, and sends him away. But it's that same word, release. He's released from being consumed by stuff. He's released from being addicted to possessions. It's a vicious cycle. That's not to say that it's not going to be an ongoing issue, that he's not going to need communal help and support to not swell again, because we can't do this alone. The woman, after she leaves the synagogue, is going to need a community to help keep her upright. The man, when he leaves the banquet, is going to need a community to help him stay in balance with his stuff. And that's where the community of faith comes in. We do this together. And again, it's a challenge on the Sabbath. And again, the authorities, the lawyers and Pharisees at this particular moment, they don't know what to say, because he is challenging them on a fundamental basis of the way they say they exist. We think about Sabbath and the law and everything that comes in the Torah, specifically Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If we think about that not as a document that says what we did wrong, but we think about it as a guide for communal living, for how do we live within our means with one another, we don't use it as a hammer, which is how it's so often portrayed, which is what Jesus is arguing against here. The legalistic, you can't heal on the Sabbath, that's not who we are. Wouldn't any of you, if your child fell in a hole, do something on the Sabbath? If your animal is thirsty, do something on the Sabbath. If the water trough is covered in ice, would you not break the ice for the horse to drink? Jesus is asking, what exactly are we about as a people? Are we going to be bound by prohibiting life from happening, or are we going to be about liberating those who are oppressed and in bondage? And all of us, all y'all, all me, everybody, is held in some kind of bondage, oppression. We are held down by something, whether we are willing to admit it or not. That is the reality of living in a broken world, and it might not be even something that we ourselves caused. It could be some external system that is broken and is in need of people paying attention so that it gets fixed. What exactly are we about as a people? That's where Jesus pushes this. So using two places of consolidated power in his own time, the synagogue and the banquets, Jesus addresses the root issues of his time that most folk don't have access to the abundance that God gives to all. That when a very few hold a majority of the resources, everybody suffers, including those who have swollen too much because of their accumulation. They are sick as well. And for these two individuals, the bent over woman and the man with dropsy, it is a moment of individual liberation, yes, but it is a reminder to the community about what we're all about. That we are not about standing in the way of healing, that we are not about blockading somebody's need, request, desire for healing. That we are meant to use our gifts, our skills, and our imaginations to be about liberating, setting people free from whatever it is that bends them over and keeps them oppressed or has them swollen and away from society because of too much. Big pieces that move into individual lives. And I can't answer that for each of us. These stories are meant to rattle folks in the synagogue on that day to recognize what Jesus is about and connect. Oh, these are the stories that we inherited. It's meant to challenge those at the banquet table to say, how are you using your power? You scribes, you lawyers, you Pharisees, are you stuck in a system of abuses, or are you going to be about the liberation that God promises? Jesus doesn't give direct answers to these. He invites us to imagine, to look into our world, and to ask very simply, what exactly are we about as a people? Prohibition, liberation. Amen.